How great is our God? Father, I can only imagine I could just see my brother Bill walking the streets of gold with his cowboy hat on, playing his guitar, singing praises to you, and how great our God is. Father, help us to realize. Help us to understand. This isn't all there is. There's so much more. I pray you show us that in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Team, thank you so very much. And I want you guys really to acknowledge David and Kaya and Steve. What an amazing job they do. I'm not leaving Tony out. It's just Tony always gets the credit. Yeah, he's, yeah, and Grace too. She's not feeling well, but thank you guys. This is just so wonderful. Dry my eyes. Get ready to get into the Word. You guys ready? God's Christmas grace. It's all about God's love for us. That's what it is. This is God, the creator of all things, who came into this world as a baby to grow up into a man just like you and me. And for some of us, because we're new and we're learning and we're growing, we say, why? Why would God do it that way? Well, it's because he couldn't do it any other way. How could he be the perfect sacrifice for you and me if he were not a man? Think of it. If Jesus showed up on this earth in any other way than through the birth canal of a woman, how could we call him a man? God, yes. Supernatural, absolutely. But to be the perfect sacrifice, he had to be a man. The why? Simply for you and me to realize that we have a God who knows how we feel. Not a God that's supernaturally in the clouds up there somewhere that, you know, we have a God who lived on this earth, had great joy and such sorrow. He understands everything that we go through. He came into this world as a man with the troubles and fears that we all have. And yet he lived a full life. I want to give you just a few quick scriptures. I'm going to kind of rapid fire because I want to get to our base scripture for today. But Jesus knows frustration. Come on. There you go. John 2, 15 and 16. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the charger's money and overturned the tables. He was having a fit. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. You know, I've had people say, well, see, Jesus did sin. No, what do you mean? Where in the Bible does it say he hit anybody with those whips? He's freaking them out, and he was angry because they were really defaming God's house. They were bringing stuff in and selling it in the house to so they'd have the perfect sacrifice and taking advantage of the people. So Jesus understands frustration. Jesus understands us being tired. John 4:6. Now at Jacob's well, there was Jesus before being wearied. Therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus at the well. It was about the sixth hour. So Jesus understands us getting tired. Jesus understands loneliness. Luke 13:34 says, O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who sent her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood underneath the wings, but you were not willing. Jesus understands lonely. Jesus understands rejection. John 6:64-66, he said, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who were they who were not, did not believe, and who would betray him. Verse 65, he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless they have been granted by to him by my Father. At that time, many of his disciples, they got upset. They didn't like that saying. They went back and they walked with him no more. Jesus understands. Jesus understands sorrow. Matthew 26:38. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. That's to his most precious disciples. All he had to ask is just stay here and watch. I need a little time alone with God. I need to pray. I need to get through this. You don't know what's about to happen to me, but I know. And they couldn't even stay awake. You guys know the story. They kept falling asleep. Jesus understands humiliation and pain. Mark 15:19. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and they spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshiped him. Well, you know they weren't worshiping. They were mocking him. It was mock worship. Can you imagine? Your Lord, your Savior. Jesus understands feeling forsaken. Matthew 27:46. Then about the ninth hour, he cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine? At that moment, God the Father literally had to turn his back. Can you imagine? Think about it. Your child. And at that moment, time in history, God had to turn his back. He had to allow it to happen. The Bible tells us that he understands us in all things. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, but without sin. Folks, these are just a few scriptures that show us he understands us. This could only have been because he came to us as a man. And that's what we have to understand. He came to us as a man, and there was reason for it. He didn't do it for God. He did it for us. God knows who we are. It's never been a problem with God. It's us. So through his Son, he gave us proof that he understands. Listen to what King David had to say when he wrote this psalm. Psalm 139, 1 through 4 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You've known my sitting down. You know my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, the Lord, you know it all together. He knows it. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. And even though so many of the things we say and do are going against what we say we believe as Christians, He still loves us. Can you believe it? Why would He love me? So, Pastor, why are you giving us all that? Well, I'm so glad you ask. Because you have to understand why Jesus came into this world in the first place. God created us because He wanted a family. Without regret, He gave us the most incredible gift that could ever be given. You think it's life, but that's not it. It's life with free will. He gave us free will. Do you know even the angels argued with God saying, you're wrong, you can't do it. You can't give them free will. You can't do that. They'll turn against you. They won't serve you. And He said, I know, but there's ones that will. Those are the ones I want, the ones that will. They'll give up their own will and they'll take mine. He was warned not to do it, but He knew. We are free to choose Him or reject Him. He knows that many will not choose Him. Tell me as a father that that wouldn't hurt. Again, imagine your own children rejecting you. Just rejecting you. All that you've done, all that you've given them, life itself. And yet they go, no, I didn't even want you. Imagine. So what did God do for us? He sent proof to us to see how much He loves His creation. He sent His Son Jesus to be the final sacrifice for you and me. Heaven is like a place God is preparing for His family. When God started thinking about the earth, He also started thinking about heaven. Why? Because He knew that we weren't meant to live here in this broken world forever. This is not all there is. If I could talk to my brother Bill Beaudry today, he'd tell me what is. I wished I could. I wish he could tell me. Tell me everything you see. Tell me everything that you feel. Tell me what it smells like. Tell me. But God's holding that for us not to know. We have to believe. And that's a good thing. Because we don't want to live in an imperfect place forever. We want to live in a perfect place that was made just for you and me as a member of God's family. Listen to this last scripture, then I'm going to get back to our story, and I hope I can make it because we've got a lot of ground to cover. I love this particular scripture, 1 Peter 1, 1 through 5, and I took it out of the Message Bible. I could barely cram it into that screen. It said, I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. He's writing to us. That's who the exiles are, all of us. I'm writing to those who are scattered to the wind. Not one is missing. Not one is forgotten. God the Father has His eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Christ. Do you guys understand what he just said? To keep us obedient through the blood of Jesus Christ. Even if I sin, I still get heaven. Oh, trust me, when I sin, it's going to cost me something here on this earth. But I still get heaven. Because of my confession for Jesus Christ, because of that sacrifice, it's still covering me, even when I'm an idiot. You better say amen. May everything good from God be yours. Verse 3 says, what a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have Him. This Father of our Master Jesus, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. Oh, I like that. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you will have it all, life healed and whole. Amen. Man, that's a good scripture. Get it out of the Message Bible and put that on your refrigerator. It's a scripture we need to keep in our heart. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Last week, we seen God's handiwork when he sent the angel Gabriel to deliver the message to Zacharias. He said, your prayers have been answered, that he and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a son. Can you imagine? They're like old people. I wasn't praying for a son anymore, God. But God had a plan. And it was to come through them. The problem was, the Bible tells us they were both stricken with old age. They'd been praying for a child for all their married lives. Elizabeth was barren. And this was the worst thing could happen in their culture, is to be barren without child. Their son, John, would blaze the way for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, to step into the world stage, but also to show Mary that she was dealing with a miracle-working God. And all she had to do was believe. You got to think about it a little bit. This just child. Mary was somewhere between 13 and 16. We don't know for sure. A child. In their culture, in their time, this is when they became a woman and were childbearing years. We're going to talk about her more as we go through this. So let's look at Luke. We're going to pick it up where we left off last week, 26. Now it's the sixth month. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Okay, I don't want to make sure. Did you guys listen to the podcast last week that weren't here? Did you get not yet? Okay. So I need to back up. I want you to understand this and get it. Last week, God sent the angel Gabriel, this very same angel, to Zacharias and told him that he was going to have a child and it would be a son, and they were to name that son John. And Zacharias, you know, he was old at this point. And so he questioned the angel. And I feel bad for him, but I think it was really kind of God's plan. God said, since you don't believe, you won't be able to speak until the child's born. Then you'll know. He walked out. This is the priest. He couldn't say a word. He couldn't talk. I thought it was a little harsh, old Gabriel. Because Mary's going to question the same thing, but different. So now 6 months has gone by. Zacharias goes home. His wife conceives. I think that's a miracle in itself. I mean, there had to have been something really mighty going on in that house. He couldn't talk. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. You know? He couldn't say, hey, baby. Yeah, I don't know. It worked. And she conceived. So now it's been 6 months since this has happened. The angel Gabriel now is sent to Galilee, named Nazareth, to the city of Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name is Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, I got to set this up because I got to assume that some of you don't know. So if you think, well, geez, Pastor, it's kind of like ABCs. Well, that's what we're getting. To be betrothed at this stage in their culture, it means they're engaged. But it's more than just engaged. Once you're betrothed to a woman, you're same as married to her. You just can't come together as a man and wife. In order to get rid of her, you have to divorce her. Literally, even though, so you could literally have a virgin divorcee. You know, if you got mad at her, you broke up, you got a divorce, you'd be a virgin divorcee. It's a very serious thing. And the thing that this angel's telling Mary that she's going to have to do is becoming pregnant when you're just betrothed. That could be death in this culture. Literally. They could, if they got angry enough, they could, according to the law of Moses, they could kill you. They could put you to death. It's a sin that is unspeakable. Girls just didn't go get pregnant. It was very, very serious. So keep that in mind as we hear what this angel has to say to Mary. Verse 27, the virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled as is saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Notice it didn't say she was afraid. It says she was thinking, you know, why is this big, handsome angel telling me, a married woman, a betrothed woman, that I'm blessed of God? Who's this guy think he is? Verse 30 says, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Verse 32, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. She knew exactly who that was. She was a descendant of King David's family. She's part of the family. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" I consider that a fair question, right? Well, what about Zacharias? He said in Luke 1:18, "How shall I know this? You're telling me that my wife's womb has been dead for years and now she's old. You're telling me we're going to have a baby. How could this be? I'm old." There is a difference. Old Zach knows how babies are made. He's more concerned about his age. Mary has a legitimate question. She's never been with a man. She's saying, "How can I be pregnant?" I do see the difference of old Zach. He had doubts and maybe some fear. And I do feel for his situation. I mean, I feel it. I couldn't imagine having a baby at my age. I couldn't imagine. I love seeing grandbabies because you get to send them home. Bye-bye. Bye, Johnny. Bye-bye. Yay, you close the door and go, "Wow, I'm glad they're gone." But yeah, I just be old and kids, wow. You know, I feel for old Zach. He had doubts. I also think God was using the fact that he took his voice until John was born as part of his overall plan. God is an infinite God, and he uses everything. Verse 35, and the angel said to her, he's still speaking to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." There is not going to be a man involved, only God. That he was making that very clear. Verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, all of a sudden, see now Mary doesn't know what's happened with Elizabeth. You're going to see in a minute, I'm going to show you the distance they lived apart. It's quite the distance. So she didn't know. 6 months, Elizabeth's been pregnant. Mary has no idea. He said, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, it was her cousin, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. Wow. That had to be a shock, you know, to hear that. Like, wow. Okay. So he says in verse 37, and you need to know this, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, she's considering herself the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I can't even fathom how remarkable that statement is from a child. From a child. I mean, we're talking 13 to 16-year-old child. You know, we're talking mid-school. You know, we're not even high school. Yet she had and she knew what to say. Verse 39, immediately, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. This is the map there next? Okay, I highlighted in yellow so you could see that it's over 100 miles. We're talking dirt roads, and we're talking a 1,300-foot elevation and climb. So she's going uphill. This now pregnant child, we don't know when the Holy Spirit came. It could have been right when she was saying that let it be to me. I don't know. But now she has to make this trip from Nazareth to where her mother, her cousin Elizabeth is. It's a treacherous trip. Now, the Bible, Luke doesn't give us any details whether Joseph was involved in the trip or not. He, best we know, he doesn't know anything about this child that's to be born. Joseph is a carpenter. Actually, they call them carpenters, or the Bible calls them, they were really stone workers, because most of the homes in those days were made out of stone. So let's look at the distance from Nazareth to Judah. This is a much bigger deal than when you peek behind the scenes. Elizabeth lived in Curran, the outskirts of Jerusalem, approximately 100 miles from Nazareth, and it was 2,400 feet above sea level. While Nazareth being about 1,300 feet above the sea level, this means Mary had to trek uphill nearly 1,300 feet in elevation. Luke didn't give us any of the details of how she made the trip, but there are obviously some concerns. Besides the physical toll that must be taken on a newly pregnant Virgin Mary, the path she took had many hidden dangers. It was a dirt path that wound around the mountain region and is believed to have been a popular place for bandits who would surprise unsuspecting travelers and take what they had. Most likely, and I believe this probably be true, that Joseph arranged the trip and he probably took her. But he couldn't stay because he had a job. Maybe he arranged to have a caravan or something that she could ride along with. We don't know those details. But most likely, I believe Joseph was the one who arranged the trip. We don't know. The visitation presented many risks to Mary. She trusted that God would protect her and would allow her and would assist her to get to her cousin. It is a beautiful mystery, one that only deepens when you learn more about the geography and the obstacles that Mary had to go through to overcome to visit Elizabeth. It was an amazing journey, but we don't have it. Maybe somebody will make a movie of it. Luke 40 says, chapter 1, verse 40, now she entered the house of Elizabeth and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. They didn't have cell phones. She didn't know Mary was coming. It was a surprise visit. So it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We're already told that the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember last week? That's an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't get a lot of attention throughout the Bible, but this baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. And now when it leapt in her womb, I would imagine you moms who's carried babies, you know when a baby moves really sudden, right? I mean, you know. Something happened, And now Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice. She just got there. And here, Elizabeth is speaking out with a loud voice. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How did she know? She's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how she knew. He said, verse 43, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Verse 44, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Verse 45, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary hadn't even spoke to her. I want you to see how the miracles that are happening. And don't you tell me that the Holy Spirit can't still fall upon us today and we begin to prophesy. I know we're a Baptist church. We're not Pentecostal. I don't care. I believe in the living Word of God. Amen. If the Holy Spirit falls on you and you start prophesying, you know. You know. So now we're going to go into Mary's response. The Catholics call this the Magnificat. The Magnificat. Mary's prayer. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. I'm just a child, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. You know, it didn't say all generations will call me wonderful. All generations will have to pray to me because we don't pray to Mary. She said, I'll be blessed because she is blessed. She was the chosen one. What an amazing thing. What verse am I on? 49. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Verse 50, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. For he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Verse 53, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed, which is you and me, forever. Verse 56, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her house. Wow. If we can get to the rest of this, there's more Holy Ghost stuff to come. Verse 57, now Elizabeth full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. You know what I think is interesting? I think it's really interesting, and I don't have the answer to this, why Mary left when she did. She stayed there for 3 months. We already know that Elizabeth was 6 months along, so she stayed till right before the baby's about to be born, and she went home. I just think that's strange. When we get to heaven, I'll ask Mary, what was that about? Why didn't you stay and help Elizabeth out? There might be a reason that the inquiry mind needs to know. So now, full time came, verse 57, for she came to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Yeah, amen. She's old, man. She just had a baby. This is incredible. Verse 59, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. This is what they did in the Jewish nation. And they would call his name by his father. They would call him Zacharias. And that is the normal thing to do in their culture. You have a son, you name him after the dad. And his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. They're going to say, all right, Zacharias, what do you want to call the baby? And they're showing him a sign. What do you want to call him? They're waiting for Zacharias. And he said to them, he asked them for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. They couldn't believe it that they were calling this kid John. And if your name is John, you are blessed because Johannes is Jehovah, is a gracious giver, is what the name John means. It's an amazing name. Verse 64, immediately his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. Can you imagine? It's been 9 months that he hadn't been able to talk. And all of a sudden he said, his name is John, and God gives him his voice back. And then fear came upon all who dwelt around him. And all those sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. You see how God's using that? Everybody in town knew old Zacharias couldn't talk no more, that God had struck his speech, and we don't know why. And now all of a sudden, boy, I tell you, the word goes around. Just imagine the conversations at the old shuffleboard thing down at the valley, you know, down at the village. They're all talking about Elizabeth and Zacharias. This is just amazing. All these things. And all these who heard them kept them in the heart, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Verse 70, as he spoke by mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. Verse 71, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our fathers Abraham to grant us, verse 74, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before him and in the days of our life. Verse 76, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. What he's saying is his son, John, is going to go before Christ. And that's exactly what he did. John was out there preaching before Jesus ever showed up on the scene. And he began baptizing people to repent of their sins. That's where we get John the Baptist. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which day spring, morning light, is what day spring means, from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong and was in the deserts till day of his manifestation to Israel. He was in the desert being trained by God, I'm sure, until his day of his ministry began, which is just shortly before Jesus Christ began his ministry. We actually got through it, and it's like 3:50. I did good. You know, it is an amazing story. And we need to see it for what it is. We need to understand that God is still with us. His miracle hand is still with us. And it's okay to prophesy. If the Holy Spirit drops on you and you got something you got to say, you got to say it. You got to trust God. As your pastor, I'll judge it, because the Bible tells us to judge it. And to determine whether it's God or not, how will you know if it lines up with the word? Prophecy is never negative. Prophecy doesn't ever beat people up. Prophecy is always positive and always glorifies God. And we need to know that and remember that. It's not a Pentecostal thing. I like to say it's a God thing. Because we see the Holy Spirit falling here on these people and they began to prophesy. What an amazing day that was. And I want to see more of it in our day. Amen? Amen. I would ask Tony to return, but I think he went home. So let me just pray over you and we'll call it a blessed day. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to hear this word. Father, as we move into chapter 2 and we begin to see the birth of Christ coming close, we're going to begin to see how Joseph responds and how he reacts to all this news. As of now, he doesn't know. What a mighty thing you have done for us. Father, hide it in our hearts to know that this is the truth and to know what Christmas is truly all about. We ask you to do these things. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.